with great honor and great delight that I stand to bring not to the church for the first time, but to the pulpit for the first time, Brother Minister William Dandridge. If you recall, about 4 or 5 years ago, it gave me the highest honor to bring my pastor from the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church, the Reverend Richmond Brown, who knew me when I first became a Christian, when I first came to Christ when I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old, I met him, and I gave my life to Christ when I was 12 years old. And some years later, not too many years later after that, a young man came to the church, a young adult, and the Lord has been working in him, through him, and for him since his time at Holy Light. So much so that during my time as a teenager and just before I was heading off to college, Brother Dandridge then, who wasn't even yet a deacon at Holy Light, was just a faithful servant. He began working and attending the pastor's Bible study and began to be elevated in ministry to a deacon, to the chair of the finance ministry there at Holy Light. And then a few years ago, the Lord continued to mold him and shape him and called him to be a minister, called him into the gospel service of ministry. And then Deacon Dandridge went faithfully, but not obviously not always knowing where the role was going to lead. He prepared himself a call to ministry, as he knows and I believe and I know and he believes is a call to preparation. And so he went and pursued theological studies at the Long Beach Bible College, and it was with great joy about a year ago. Is it 2010? 2010 that I got a chance to be out in California during his graduation with his doctorate degree in ministry from the Long Beach Bible College. And it wasn't a D-man, it was a PhD. Is that right? It was a doctor of ministry from the Long Beach Bible College. So Pastor Brown is moving him towards ordination. So we're going to call him Minister Dr. William Dandridge, as opposed to just now the Reverend Dr. William Dandridge. But soon that's going to come. I believe that the Lord's going to prevail and then move Pastor Brown to move that and move him into ordained ministry. But as of now, it is Minister William Dandridge. But we don't want to underestimate or underplay the theological preparation that he has given himself to. And so I do honor him by indeed calling him Minister Dr. William Dandridge, because he is a serious brother about ministry. I have been blessed because he's been really my primary contact in the early years of me reconnecting to Holy Light. And I have thanked him countless times for the way that he has extended himself to me, my wife, my family over these many years, these few years that I have come back home and preached and ministered in and at Holy Light. So I am delighted to welcome him to the pulpit as Minister William Dandridge. He is one of Pastor Brown's faithful attendants, seeing that Pastor Brown in these later years continues to get the respect that he so needs. And that he so deserves as a pastor now almost some 50 years at the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. So praise God, our home church choir has come to do a song of preparation for him. And so Shiloh, again, I introduce you to Holy Light. Holy Light, I again introduce you to Shiloh and say what an amazing thing for me to stand 3,000 miles away and watch folk. On the end here is Sister Friesen to my left. Raise your hand, Sister Friesen. Sister Friesen was one of my first Sunday school teachers at the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. And so I'm just godly proud to have my church, home church, with my East Coast church, with my home church, and representing my home church is the Brother Minister William Dandridge. Let's extend our right hand and say, Lord, bless us through William Dandridge, Minister Dandridge, and soon to be Reverend Dr. Minister Dandridge. In the name of Jesus, give God a praise offering and thank God for this great man of God.
God, who is is the head of my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It is a blessing just to be here.
Yes, sir.
Traveling 3,000 miles to come here, and we have, speaking for our church group, we have had a wonderful time here in New Jersey. And I just wanted to thank, before we go on with the message, I just wanted to thank everyone from the bottom of our heart, from Holy Light, what you've done for us and picking us up from the airport and bringing us the Holmes family. I don't know if they're here, but taking us into their home to have breakfast before we went to the hotel, and that takes a lot to have that many people converging on your home who've been on an airplane for 5 or 6 hours and have not had a shower yet. Amen. Amen. That takes a lot. And then to take us out and get our rental car and everything. So we just want to say thank you to Shiloh. We want to say thank you for everything on this trip and what you've done on previous trips. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And also, we were also blessed. It was Friday night, and I guess Sister Poole had made us a cake. Amen. And a pound cake. And they're talking about the cake, and I got a knock on my door, my hotel room door, and there's three members outside my door. And they got a serious look on their face. Wanted to know, where is the cake? I said, you got to go to Deacon Hicks' room. That's where the cake is. Amen. Then I went back and I said, they look kind of serious. Let me go on and eat this cake. I was just going to taste it, because it's not good to eat kind of late at night, the sweets. But I just went and was going to taste the cake and had a little bite of the cake. And then I just went on and ate it all. Amen. Amen. To this service that we've had so far, we have been blessed in the Lord. To our worship leader, Deacon Harris, to Minister Williams, and to everyone else that has participated in this service and all the services that have led up to this service today. We have been certainly blessed by Shiloh, and we're looking forward to you coming out to Los Angeles in July. Many of you that will come out, and we had a wonderful time about 2 years ago when all of you came out and fellowship with us. So we're looking forward to that again. Amen. So as we come today, and we have been thanking all those that have come from Holy Light, the 16 of us that have come out to fellowship with you. And I want to say thank you to all of them. You saw our Holy Spirit in motion. That wasn't our whole Holy Spirit in motion. And our choir and Sister Singleton that had to kind of put them together on who we had. We were kind of short men, but you could see they did not make the mistake of asking me to come and help them. That would have been an error, and she has too much wisdom for that. But as the pastor has said, he's introduced you to Sister Friesen, who was a Sunday school teacher, and I believe Sister Singleton had him in the angel voice, and I won't say that Sister Friesen probably did a better job, but but sometimes you can't get a blood out of a turnip, so if you're not able to sing, you just got to do the best you can. Amen. Amen. So we're here today from, as the pastor said, we are from Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church, and my pastor is the Reverend Richmond Brown, and he just got an honorary degree, so is now Dr. Richmond Brown. Amen. So we're here today to come and fellowship with you, and we know that as I get ready to bring forth the word and have God use me, I'm always reminded before I get up to speak that there was, when I first spoke at Holy Light, it was a long time ago, it must have been about It was at a men's day, and we had a deacon by the name of Albert Gilbert who came to me and said, "This is I want you to come and speak on men's day." And I had never spoke in front of the church before, and so you get a little nervous. You get a little shaky. He said, "Don't worry, just go up and do your best." That's what he always said, go and do your best. So that Sunday came, and I got up, and I was ready to speak to the congregation, and I was welcomed much as you welcomed me here today. And Deacon Gilbert pulled my coat to come and to give me some words. So I said, "Okay, here's a mentor going to give me some words of encouragement before I get up to speak before the people." And he said, "Son, now don't make those people glad twice." And I looked at him. I said, "What are you talking about? Glad twice? What does that mean?" He says, "Don't make them glad that you got up and then glad you sat down." So Shiloh, I'm here today to do nothing else is not to make you glad twice. Amen. And I follow your ministry through the internet. It's a blessing. And I'll be home in L.A. and I'll flip on my computer to catch the word, or I might be at work. And so it is a blessing what you're doing here, the ministry that you have here. And so as we come forth now, I'm going to ask you, I know that you always stand for the reading of God's word. And I ask that you do, we're going to do something just a little bit different. I want you to go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and put a bookmark there. We're going to come back to that. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And before we get there, we're going to start at 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 11th verse. All right. When you have it, say amen. Amen. I always know, because you sometimes you always hear the rustling of pages. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 11th verse. And it reads, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give ye charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now let's go over to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And we are going to begin there at the 41st verse. 1 Kings 18:41, and it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, Say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And now the two key verses, and it says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Yes. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come now once again thanking you for another day. Yes, thanking you for this service that we've had thus far. Yes, God. And now, Heavenly Father, I ask that your word come forth. And they ask that I might decrease so that you might increase. And please use me, give me the words to say. Through Jesus' name we do always pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. Our subject for today is going to be the man of God. Work is never done. The man of God's work is never done. Yes, sir. Now, I came here to New Jersey prepared to preach something else. And I had it all here and written out, and you know how you already done a sermon, you're going to do it again because it kind of worked kind of well. We don't have a videotape ministry, so I know nobody in New Jersey had heard my sermon. Amen. But maybe next time. So I came here Friday night to the service, and Reverend Archie McBride brought a wonderful message, and I kept focusing, man of God, man of God. Every time, man of God, you keep hearing man of God. And I started going through the Bible, looking, and prayed on it, and God said, okay, you're going to have to preach on something else. So I got this prepared sermon. Now I got all these little pages with writing on them. But it came down to this. I could preach what I want to preach, or I can preach the Word of God. And so we come today with this subject, the man of God. We've been hearing about it, man of God. We got our packet when we got here. They gave us a welcome packet. It said, thanks for coming, because you're coming to honor the man of God. So man of God, this is it started focusing. What is it? The man of God. It must be something for us to come today, all of us to be here and coming through these weekly services to honor the man of God. So the man of God must really be something. It didn't say even honor the pastor. It didn't say honor reverend. It said honor the man of God. And the man of God, it's a term used in the Old Testament. You'll find it 77 times in the Old Testament. It's always used to, there's recognizable names like Moses and David and Samuel, but there's also some other names, other people that you don't even know them by name. Mizra, and it said an angel from the Lord. It says it's a man of God. So the man of God is someone, the key thing, it's someone that comes with God's word. Comes with a message from God. That's what the man of God is. So we come to this letter beginning where Paul has written this letter to Timothy. And of all Paul's writings, we've been studying, I've been teaching on a Tuesday night Bible study, and we've been coming from a lot of the epistles of Paul. And we haven't got to 1 Timothy yet, but 1 Timothy is one that is the most personal of his letters. And when he was writing to Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians, he's writing to churches, more general to the church. But here he's writing to someone he knows personally. Timothy. And as he writes to Timothy, he writes to do two things. He's writing to encourage him, but he's also writing to give him some direction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To let him know, I'm going off the scene.
Yes, sir.
But the word of God must go forth. And he had wrote to Timothy in Philippians, and he had said these things about Timothy. He said, I have known no man like him who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know, Timothy, that as a son to a father, that's the way Paul looked at him, have served with me in the gospel. So he's writing to Timothy, and as he writes to Timothy, we're talking about the man of God. The man of God is someone who belongs to God. He's God's man. He belongs to God. Obviously, it's a man that does not belong to the world. He's not a man that belongs to a culture. He's not a man that belongs to a denomination. He's not a man that even belongs to a church. He's a man that belongs to God. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Instant, in season and out of season. In other words, you got to preach it sometimes when they want to hear it. And sometimes you got to preach it when they don't want to hear it. Amen. So we come here and we look, and what are the identification marks of the man of God? Who is the man of God? Reverend Armstrong, I've seen him. He is a man of God. But what is there about him? Well, you just have to go to the scripture. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. Just go to the word of God. And the word says, first of all, in verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Stop. Number one, it says to flee these things. Flee. What does flee mean? Flee means to run. There's a Greek word. I studied Greek in school. There's some good things about going to school. You can pick up on a few words. But there's a Greek word called fuego. And that word is like the English word fugitive. Now, I don't know if many of you are, I'm looking out and there's some people around my age. See, I was a child of the 60s. And there was a TV show in the 60s called The Fugitive. A lot of you remember that show. Amen. Got some hands up. Remember The Fugitive. And I used to love that show. That's a little bit before your time, Reverend. But for those that did not see that show, there was a movie made in the mid-90s with Harrison Ford. Remember that one. If you didn't see the show, you probably saw the movie. Harrison Ford was the fugitive, and there was only two key characters. Actually, the movie had more. They brought more people in because, you know, it's a production. But there was two key characters in The Fugitive. One was the Dr. Richard Kimball. And Dr. Kimball, if you remember the story, Dr. Kimball was accused of murdering his wife. And the show began every week, and it would tell, if you missed the show, it would tell you that Dr. Kimball was accused wrongly. He hadn't done it, but he had been arrested and he had been tried. He had been convicted, and they had went out on a train, and the train had overturned, and he was able to get away. And but from that point on, from show to show, I used to beg my grandparents to be able to watch that show. I think it was on past, usually bedtime was at 9, but they allowed me to watch the show. But week after week, the fugitive was on the run. He'd be in one city, he'd have to go to another city, he'd have to keep running to stay away from the Lieutenant Gerard who was after him. So you'd see every show, and he'd run, and he'd run, and he'd constantly run. So the first thing you can see there is he is fleeing from someone that is trying to put him away. That's what sin is trying to do. Satan is trying to put us away, trying to catch us. The Bible says that he goes to and fro in the earth seeking whom he might devour. So the man of God, the first thing about the man of God, he needs to flee. And what he is fleeing is he is fleeing sin. It specifically says in verse 10, Paul lets him know, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now let's be clear now, that does not say money. That says for the love of money. So he's letting Timothy know, don't get entrapped. Like Paul had dealt with all kind of men on his journeys. Men that were just bringing the gospel so that they could be paid. Those that were not telling the truth just so they could be paid. But he says to him, flee these things. I'm reminded of Billy Graham once said that he had went on one of his journeys. And he had went out and he saw someone in one of the poor countries in the Dominican Republic. And he asked, went to the man because he knew the man had been well off in big companies and had a lot of money. And he was he just wanted to know, why are you over here doing this? Why are you over here working over here when you have so much over there in the U.S.? And the man just sat Billy Graham down and said simply, right now, I have given up those things that I can't keep. And now I'm going after things that I can never lose. So when those in the ministry and the man of God realizes that he is going after things that he can never lose. Well, no matter how much money you have, no matter how many cars you have, no matter how many homes you might have, you're going to leave it here. So now you need to lay timber down here that will be worth it up in heaven. Flee these things. Flee them, whether it's money. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Flee sexual sin. Run from it. He didn't say just walk away. Some of us just like walk away. I'm just going to avoid it. It says run. Run from it. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says flee idolatry. Idolatry is simply if you have anything in your life that you think that you put before God. It don't matter what it is. If you're putting it before God, if you're putting your job before God, if you're putting your car before God, if you're putting your money before God, it says run from that. Get on the move. Run from everything that can corrupt you. Run from anything that is worldly. Just get on the move. Running in this instance is not a sprint. A sprint, Reverend Armstrong was a sprinter. And I guess in his sprints, I know that he was always looking in the back of Quincy Watts when he was running. They were in the valley running at the same time, and Quincy ran a little faster. Isn't that right, Reverend? I'm telling the truth now. Amen. He might have been able to outrun a lot of those others. Quincy was running. He was carrying the Olympic torch, but Quincy was running in Olympics. Amen. So running is like running a marathon. And so that is the first thing. But Paul goes on and says that there is a second thing you have to do. You have to follow after. Follow after. The second thing. I don't know if Paul intended all these to begin with F. I don't know, but they just happen to. You have to follow after. That means to pursue. Let's go back to my analogy of the TV show The Fugitive. Richard Kimball not only ran to keep himself free, he also ran and followed after finding out who actually did this. It wasn't enough just to run and just maintain your freedom, because he wanted to find out who had done this crime, because he knew it wasn't him. So you have to follow after.
Yes, sir.
Pursue. Not only do you run, some of us make the mistake of we only want to avoid sin and think that's enough. But the man of God knows that you not only got to run from those things, you got to run after spiritual things.
Right.
You got to run.
Yes, sir.
Not just walk, just not move slowly. You can see now the man of God is in constant movement. He's not sitting around. I've never called Reverend Armstrong and he said, well, I'm just kicking it. I don't know. Melanie, maybe he does that sometime. I don't know. I always get something like, I'm coming out of this class. I'm putting the kids to bed. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going to see a member here. I never get the idea of I'm just kicking it. Sometimes I just kick it. But he's not kicking it. Hey, man, there's something going on here. But when you get a call at 7 o'clock and I'm on my way to Bible study from West Africa, Liberia, talking about it's 3 o'clock in the morning here. I'm like, man, why ain't you sleep? Man, good God. Please. Get some sleep. Man, the man of God, now I understand what's going on with you. I'm expecting you to pick up the phone and call me. No, you're on the run. Constant movement. The man of God is always on the move. You can see in the scripture, don't ever say anything about resting or sitting down. But it says that he's following these things. Says he's following these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I could preach on all those things, but that's a whole nother sermon. And I'll be in that Deacon Gilbert area if I go into those. But righteousness, simply doing what is right. That's visibly seen. Godliness. You might think that's the same thing, but godliness is dealing on the inside. That's the heart. That's what makes the righteousness come out. The word, that's in the heart, deals with the heart. Righteousness deals with the seen action. Faith, trusting in God. Love, talking about agape love here now. Sermon on love, that's a whole other thing. Amen. Love God with all your heart. Patience, it goes back to the marathon. Endurance. Meekness, being humble, that fits the pastor here. Amen. Humble. There's a third thing. It says fight. I told you they all begin with F.
Yes, sir.
Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A soldier fights. You don't get in the military to be a soldier. They're training you to fight.
Yes.
If you're a boxer, they're training you to fight. But we come to the church, we act like the pastor's just supposed to not say anything. Man of God is just supposed to let anything go on. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. I go back to the fugitive. I don't want to leave him alone, but he was fighting for something. He was fighting for his life. He was fighting for his life, because if he got caught again, he had a death sentence. So he had to fight. He had to battle. He had to do all that he could to stay free so that he could keep fighting to find out the truth.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir.
The man of God is the same way. He has to fight not only for himself, he's got to fight for all of you. Oh, you might look at it, oh, it's just Sunday morning. A lot of times, well, we come here on Sunday and then we go and we have the rest of the week, but the man of God can't do that. He can't go, and I said, as I said before, kick it. He's got to keep moving. He's got to fight for you. He's got to fight because he knows what's out there. He knows that Satan is out there trying to trick you and deceive you. So he's got to fight. Then the fourth thing, it says in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. But then it goes on to say that thou keep this commandment without spot. Keep this commandment. It's talking about God's word, not just one commandment. It's another Greek word for that, the entelē. That means the commandment, the whole law. It's saying to keep the word, the scripture. The word of the man of God has to keep. He's bound to the word of God. Some have got to the point where they want to use the word of God. And when something comes up in society, it doesn't fit in society, then we don't want to talk about it. But wrong is wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Wherever it may be, you might have to hit some toes. But if you're doing wrong, you're just doing wrong. The word is the word. We finally go back to our friend Richard Kimball in The Fugitive. And what happened there was he was seeking one thing. He was just seeking one thing. That was the truth. That was the one thing that he was seeking. Whether you saw the TV show or whether you saw the movie, the main thing is he wanted to get at the truth. I didn't do this. Who killed my wife? And it took you week to week. 4 years later, they finally had the conclusion episode of The Fugitive. It was the most watched TV show of that time. That was back in the mid-60s. And I remembered I watched that show with anticipation because they were looking for this warm-armed man. I wanted him to get caught. And they went through the whole thing, and the detective that had chased him all that time finally caught him. Caught Dr. Kimball, but Dr. Kimball said, just give me a chance. Give me one chance to prove I'm innocent. And the detective, after chasing him for 4 years, 5 years, finally said, okay, I'm going to give you one chance. I'm going to give you one chance to go out and find. And he let him go out, and they found that one-armed man. They found what the truth is. The man of God is leading us toward the truth. The truth is the word of God. It's not any gospel that you make up. It's not any gospel that I make up. It is the word of God. And now let's go to 1 Kings. I won't be too much longer. Let's go to 1 Kings. Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a man that was called out to give some bad news. Sometimes, as I said before, the man of God has to give some bad news. It's not always news that you want to hear. He had to go and tell Ahab, because of the prophets and your worshiping of Baal, I'm going to have to cut off the rain. It ain't going to rain no more. I had to come. He had to come and bring some bad news. But Elijah had to do it because God had given him the word to say. He couldn't say, I can't go to the, I'm going to the king. I can't bring the king that kind of news. He had to do it because God directed him to do it. And so he went to the king and gave him the bad news. But see what happened after that. Elijah now had a 3-year journey. A 3-year journey of loneliness and being by himself and having to go through some things. The Bible said first that he had to go because there was a lack of rain. The Bible said that he had to go to a brook. He had to go to a brook to get some water, and ravens came and fed him. Look how God will do for the man of God. God will do some things to keep the man of God going. And then after the brook dried up, he said to go to a woman. Go to a woman and go see this widow woman. And so Elijah went to the widow woman, and the widow woman said, he asked for some bread. She said, I barely got enough. I got a son and we barely got enough here. He said, just do it because the Lord told me to do it. The woman went out, and then they had enough to eat all the time Elijah was there. Look what God will do for the man of God. But let me go on a little further. The boy got sick. The boy got sick, and the woman said, why has God brought this all on me? I've taken care of you in our situation. And Elijah took the boy in his arms, and then the voice of heaven came down, and that child came back to life. And that woman said about Elijah one thing. In verse 24, it says, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Look what God will do. And then we see, you know what happened on Mount Carmel. We don't have to preach about Mount Carmel. We know what happened there. Where the 450 prophets of Baal were, now came the point of challenge. God was through messing with them. Because see, sometimes God just gets tired of junk. He'll put up with it for a while, but 3 years is too long with junk. And he came and he said he had one prophet. One man of God and 450 men of Baal, and said, let's now come and let's show who God is. Because sometimes God just got to show out. And so now they came, and Elijah went back and sat back and said, okay, now do what you got to do to get a fire to come down on this altar. And they did all they can. They set it up and they set the bull out on the altar. And then the prophets of Baal, they waited and waited for the fire to come from Baal. And Elijah's just sitting there and just saying, maybe he's busy right now. Maybe he's a little tired. He even said, maybe they're on the toilet. Amen. That's in the word. But all that happened and nothing happened. So Elijah said, all right, enough of that now. And the Bible says Elijah told all the people there, come on now. Come on now and watch this. And they said it was all laid out. And then they came with just buckets of water. You know what? A fire can't come over water. But then it says in the Bible, then came down from heaven. A great fire came down. And that wood burned and everything, and the people just fell down on their knees and said, thank you, Lord. Now we know who the real God is. But the story did not end there. And that's why it comes to this part of my sermon. The man of God's work is never done. Because after Mount Carmel, you would have thought it was all done. Elijah could just look back and said, it's been a rough 3 years, but now it's time for rest and relaxation. The 450 prophets of Baal were killed, but what happened was Elijah still had work to do. He wasn't able to just go back and rest on his laurels, and it wasn't like CNN. CNN, Elijah wins out over the prophets of Baal. He couldn't do that. He had to go back. In our verse, it says, Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. Ahab was there, the king, for there is a sound of rain. Because see, when God wants his man to start working, he don't need no sinner man like Ahab around. So he says, get on out of here and do what you do. Ahab, Elijah in the worldly sense should have been the one up celebrating and eating. Ahab had just, everything that he had believed in had been destroyed, but yet he went up and ate. But Elijah still had work to do. So the Bible says that he went up to the top of Carmel. And he went up there and he cast himself down 7 times and prayed. Elijah knew what was going to happen. Elijah knew what God was going to do because God had said what he was going to do. But that still does not mean stop praying. Elijah went up and prayed. And he prayed 7 times. And then it says, on the 7th time, the other man with him said, I saw a cloud. I saw a little crowd out on the sea. And it says here that Ahab said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare the chariot. Now you might think, why is Elijah even concerned with Ahab? Why? Ahab was the king. He had been against everything that Elijah had battled for, but still you have to respect authority. And so he went and told Ahab, get in the chariot. Ahab is now going in the chariot and heading to Jezreel. But the Bible says in those last 2 verses, it says it came to pass in the mean that the heaven was black with clouds and there was a great rain. 3 years later, now rain is starting to fall. Rain is coming down. And Ahab was riding on his chariot to Jezreel. And then all of a sudden it says the hand of the Lord went and touched the man of God. The man of God that should have been tired. The man of God that should have been spent. The man of God that should have had no energy. The man of God now has been touched. And now he says he girded up his loins and now he's sprinting past the chariot. The chariot is running and he's running. It's like he's running in mud as the man of God is y'all running by him. He's sprinting now like you used to sprint, Pastor. He's now sprinting. You never did catch Quincy, but man of God was able to catch that chariot. Amen. What God will do for the man of God. And as I close, look out over the Bible, what the Bible says about the man of God. There was a man of God by the name of Moses. Moses who made excuses about his inadequacies. For the work that God had given him. The same Moses that had come to God when he went and said to God, when God had told him to go to Pharaoh, me? Do you mean me? Little old Moses? Says, yes, I mean you, Moses. And Moses had to take up, and the Bible says that he had to give up the pleasures of sin for a season. I told you, you got to run. You got to run from sin. But then there was another man named Samuel. Samuel who was born, there was a lady named Hannah who couldn't have children. And she prayed to God and kept praying. And she said, if you just give me a child, I'll turn him all over to you. The Bible says Samuel was a man of God. Then there was a man by the name of David. When they went looking for a king, God said to Samuel, go out and find a son of Jesse. And he went out and looked and they kept looking and they brought all the children that they knew it could be. And that wasn't the one. It couldn't be the small little lad that's out there tending the sheep. But that was the one. His name was David. You don't know what God can do or who God might choose. There's a man named Paul, chief persecutor of the church. Man that wrote all those books in the New Testament. Paul who was stood by when Stephen was killed. But Paul went on the road to Damascus. He went there to persecute him some Christians. But something happened on the road to Damascus. The God stepped in and said, now, Paul, your name is no longer Saul. It's going to be Paul. And now you're going to be lifting up the Lord and not persecuting Christians. There was a man that we just talked about named Timothy. A man that was young in the ministry, but a man that was strong in faith. And as I close today, and we talked about the man of God, you have a man of God right here. You have a man of God that came through some tough situations. A man that was born to teenage parents. It didn't look like that man of God could come out of that situation. A man that's in the living around the projects of Nickerson Gardens. Didn't look like a man of God could come out of that situation. A man that had experienced and seen drug abuse in his own family. It didn't seem like a man of God could come from that situation. But I got to tell you today, God will send some people. It might be a pastor of a church. It might be some social workers. It might be some people who are in school. It might be some counselors. But angels will come from above to help the man of God. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing back then. And God knows what he's doing right now. Thank you, Lord, for the man of God. Thank you, Lord, for sending this man. Thank you, Lord, for letting him realize he could have been anything that he wanted to be. But God said, you need to lead my people. You need to be a man of God. So let's just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for the man of God. Amen. 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 The doors of the church are open. If there be one, there is over 2,000 years ago, God sent down a man and born of a woman. God sent down a man because we need to be reconciled back to God. So if there be anyone here tonight, here today, this is the best time. I don't know about tomorrow. Don't say I'm going to wait. I'm going to give it a few more weeks. Because you don't know about tomorrow. I got to fly back tomorrow on a plane. Pray for me. Pray for us as we go back. But there ain't no guarantee about tomorrow. So if there be one that will come and accept this God. Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago. He came, he lived and dwelt among us. And he died on that cross. But the best thing about it, church, is that's not the end of the story. If the story had ended there, we wouldn't need to be here. But he got up. He got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. So if there be one today that will come out, you may have not come. You may have come here just to visit. You may have come because you came with a family member. You may have come you were walking down the street and just decided to walk in. But there is no better place to be than under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And there is, as I preached on, there is a man of God. There are women of God here that can assist you, that can help you. Whatever your situation.